Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Brett. Thank you for all the pastors whom we've been fellowshipping through the week and getting to know you, your church, your heart. And it's good to be able to speak about the things of God. And having been to the spiritual world, I know how important the work of the church is to the Lord and all that God wants to do in releasing His healing revival, which is the first wave, and His creative healing revival, which is the second wave that flows on top of the first wave. And some of you might have already sensed it in the spirit that there is a building day by day, night by night, as we worship, as we wait upon the Lord. And the Lord is in the spiritual realm. This is the position that I saw the Lord in the spiritual realm. And it's like He's standing to one side, and He's ready to do some things and reach out to our lives tonight. And there is a level of faith tonight where we are in very close contact with the spiritual world, the spiritual realm. And they are behind the Lord. Behind the Lord is a host of angels, and they are bearing gifts of healings into our lives. And if you all remember in the book, I mentioned about rooms where the Lord showed me when He sent me back after visiting the spiritual realm. And in fact, most of you might not realize this, but during my the time of when I went to Australia in 1907, right up to about 2006, I was more or less quite contented with just being in the Lord, just being a person just who loved the Lord and walking with the Lord. And I did not know what was going to take place in the phase from 2006 to 2016, which is the phase that we are in right now. And the Lord told me that my life is divided into 10-year phases. And when 2006 came about, I went through my normal fast of 40 days. And during that time, the Lord took me into the spiritual world for a period of about 5 weeks. And after that, it continued sporadically. And when He showed me all those wonders of the spiritual world and the spiritual realm, one of the things that the Lord began to speak to me is to tell people how real it was and to speak about the two ways of the revival that is coming forth, that is coming forth to the church and to the earth. All the angels are preparing for these two ways of revival. And in fact, I was a reluctant messenger. I said, "Lord, isn't there anybody else You could send?" And been through this period of 10 years where waited on God, and I just satisfied just to write books and just to work with online students and train students and fellowship and help and pastors, and that was all I would have been satisfied doing. And I said, "Lord, isn't there anyone else You could send?" And the Lord began to speak to my heart and says, "Yes, there are many, but you got to go and stir them up. You got to raise them up. You got to awaken them up to that realm." And there are two waves of healing revival that are coming. The first wave is where there is a healing wave that's coming from the throne of God. And it will be greater than the healing wave that you read about, in which is now history, from 1906 and in the 1940s and 50s, when there was a healing wave of revival. It will be far greater than that. And during the healing wave, there will be a lot of notable miracles. And notable miracles of those who have been suffering sickness, diseases, incurable sicknesses, things the doctors gave up And you would think that in our modern technology and with the advancement of medical science, that by now we would have cured a lot of sicknesses, yet we keep discovering more and more sicknesses and diseases that are incurable. And we still do need the God of miracles today. And God is still a God of miracles. And that healing wave is going to come forth. And the Lord says that there are those whom He has appointed even before they were born to be testimonies to the healing touch of the Lord. It will start with a few here, a few there. And then as people's faith rise, they will reach a point where it will be normal to expect healing. It will be normal in our meetings. It will reach a point where it will be so normal that somebody gets healed of a blindness, another person of deafness, or a paralyzed person just raised up who has not walked before, and we say, yeah, that's normal. Yeah. What's the next song? Right. And to our right there could be, you know, three people who could not speak and suddenly they are healed and they start praising the Lord, and we say, yes, that's normal. Praise the Lord. And so that it will reach a point where every meeting we would expect, like Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He says, He has come to set the captives free. And then He talks about how the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. All this becoming normal. So we should reach a level of faith where we expect it as a normal Christian experience. And as we reach the stage, there will suddenly come the second wave where there will be healing, creative miracles where people who have one organ removed from their body, that God would just give them a new organ. Or people who has limbs, or arms, or legs amputated for whatever reason, for war, disease, or whatever, as they worship God, and as they raise one hand to the Lord and raise the other thumb to the Lord, suddenly they will have a new hand. And they will have new legs. And then the Lord showed me rooms in the spiritual world where there are these rooms of human body parts, all waiting to be released during the second wave of creative miracles. When we see such creative miracles like you have never seen before. And I was told by the angel that is watching over that area that very few has come to those rooms, which means that there were a few creative miracles that have taken place here and there in church history, but still it's considered very few. And tonight as we gather together, I do know in my spirit, and some of you sense it too in your spirit, and you do know that in these sessions or series of meetings, that there are those in our midst with sickness and diseases whom the doctors cannot make you better. Medicine cannot help you anymore. It can only relieve your symptoms. It can only help you cope with life and to alleviate your pain. I want you to know that I know in my spirit that definitely in our midst and throughout this series of meetings that it is your time to receive that miracle that God has for you in your life. And even tonight, as we speak His word, as we preach His word, as you sit in His presence, that will reach a point where you would even receive your miracle as you're sitting in His presence. As the word is being taught, that you will sense this flow of energy from the Holy Spirit that energizes in your body, and you will know that you know that you know that the Holy Spirit has just touched you. I saw a vision of Jesus and he's stretching out. It was almost like he was on the right side looking down. Behind him are his angels carrying what I saw to be healing gifts. So tonight as you sit in his presence, I want you to open your heart to the Lord that even in his presence, as you hear his word, that God drops a miracle in your body. He's going to take you to a place and position where without realizing it, you just got healed. You got your miracle that the Lord has reserved especially for you, because God is a miracle working God. And it should be that way with us, that we should expect at every meeting that God can heal the blind. God can open the deaf ears. God can cause the dumb to speak. God could raise those who are paralyzed. It should be so common, because our God is a living God. And He is in our midst, even tonight. So open your hearts to Him tonight, and that will take place as we share and teach about how to open ourselves to the dimension of the Spirit tonight. We have touched quite systematically on all the various aspects, and last night I just had to share on the love of God, because we need to always bring teaching line upon line and precept upon precept. And it was just not right to continue talking more and further about the spiritual realm without first talking about the love of God. And that's the whole basis for everything that He does. Otherwise, we all go in the wrong direction. So tonight, I'm going to start off by looking at many scriptures to lay a groundwork of where we are progressing from here. And we indeed will talk about the three areas where there is a manifestation. Having a manifestation, we need to have an interpretation followed by an application. Because when the Holy Spirit is in our midst, He manifests Himself. Some of you would already notice that when you were worshipping, and when just right now you're sitting in His presence, you felt like what the two disciples of Emmaus felt as they walked with Jesus. And remember, they didn't know it was Jesus yet in Luke 24. They only were surprised that this stranger who was in their midst knew everything about the kingdom of God and spoke about the scriptures from the prophets right on, up from Moses right up to the prophets. And it was Jesus and they didn't know it. But they said, after Jesus revealed himself to them in Luke 24, didn't our hearts warm when he spoke to us? And I know that some of you sense that warming in your heart, because even though Jesus is invisible, and though you might not recognize the spiritual realm and your spiritual senses are just beginning to be open, you're beginning to understand about five spiritual senses. Like the two disciples of Emmaus whose eyes were beholden from recognizing Jesus, their hearts could recognize Jesus. Your heart recognizes that Jesus is in our midst. There's a warmth in your heart right now. And I know that those of you who need a miracle, your heart is warming right now. There's a glow in your heart. And as a glow continues and increases to its fullness, your miracle will be complete tonight. And as Jesus is in our presence, let's understand what this spiritual realm is like. Besides being the realm that we enter into through God's love and the way that Jesus has opened unto us. We were made originally to be spirit beings. And we do have souls, we live in a physical body. But the spiritual realm is such that where our spirits could aspire and enjoy and be. See, originally, we were made spirit, soul, and body. When Adam fell, the spirit section of him was cut off from God, separated from God. So more and more we became soul creatures and flesh creatures. When Christ came, we were born again, and our spirit is renewed. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that when Paul prayed for the Thessalonians, he prayed that God would preserve their spirit, soul, and body, blameless under the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the spirit, soul, and body. Now, what does our spirit feel like? What is the spirit like when we move our consciousness to our spirit? Our spirit is very light. Very light. It's not as heavy as our physical body. Our spirit, the spirit part of us is so light that every thought that you think, that you're able to think, is like an energy force affecting it. If we all today lose our ability of thought and consciousness, we are no better than a plant. We are alive and spirit conscious because of that ability. The thought dimension, the thought realm. See, if right now we were to take off our physical body and have just our spirit and our soul, and provided our soul is not cast down or heavy, our spirit will be so light that just the thought, just thinking about the highest realm of heaven or the furthest galaxy, and zoom, the thought would just bring you there. That's how light our spirit is. And you could be thinking of a loved one, and zoom, you would, the energy of that thought would just bring you to that, your loved one, or the energy of the thought would be felt by your loved one. So if right now we are all just spirit beings, if I were to think a good thought towards you, you would feel it like a force coming to you. Shoom. That's the spirit realm. So there is this light airiness to the thought realm, where thoughts can be light, thoughts can be heavy, that pull you down. So we need to give some scriptures to some of the things we're going to describe. So I'm going to give you some scriptures here. Jesus, when he walked on earth, besides being conscious of the Father in him and being conscious of the love of the Father and being loving towards all those, and he walked with love towards all those who were around him, he could sense people's thoughts. And if your five senses spiritually are alive, you might not realize it. You could sense the thought realm. I didn't say you could read people's mind. I said you could sense the thought realm. From the spiritual world, every thought produces something. Either every thought is like an energy force, it's like a light that flows up from us. When the thought is in line with the Word of God, when the thought has the attributes of God's love inside, that thought that we think is a light that comes out from us, like an energy force. When the thoughts are evil or they are bad, it is dark. There is the dark energy and it's still there. And some people are puzzled. How can God create that dark energy? God didn't. God just, every thought and all light comes from God. But what happens is that when the energy turns upon itself, it becomes dark. In science, when you have what you call a black hole, the gravitational force of the object is so great that the photons or the light that is trying to escape from that object could not escape, because the gravitational force is so strong it pulls the light back to itself. And if it does not reflect any light, of course when we look, it's a dark hole. It's a black hole. Because the gravitational force is so great that no photon can escape. And of course they believe that some black holes, at the point where the gravitational force is great, there's no light, but right at the edge, there are photons escaping. Just escaping off the fringe. So they say it possibly could also be bright. So that's science still being discussed. When you look out at the sky, you see most of the time blue sky, white, beautiful, fluffy clouds. But at times, when the clouds become dark, it has nothing to do with the clouds. It has to do with the fact that light cannot penetrate the clouds. It's still the same H2O, water vapor. The chemical nature of the water has not changed. It is just that it's so thick that the light cannot go through. And it's just dark, huge dark clouds. So I illustrate that for some of us who are slightly more theologically inclined, who wonder, how can God create darkness? He does not. How can there be dark energy? He does not create that. The energy that comes forth from God, the spiritual energy, the physical life, and all that flows through God, God's creation, is freely given. But as it comes upon those who are evil, like Satan, demons, and people who are evil, they take the energy and they somehow, to illustrate, they curve it upon itself. And so it looks dark. And something does not reflect light, it looks black. But there's still the energy there. But the energy has been turned into something else. It is just like music could be used for good, could be used for bad. Music is neutral. Television could be used for good, could be used for bad. It's how we use it. Internet could be used for good, could be used for bad. How we use it. Fire could be used for good, could be used for bad. Nuclear energy could be used for good, could be used for bad. So it's how we turn the energy into something bad. But all originally came freely from God, and God has given such freedom to His creation and His created beings. Knowing that He has supreme control, He's not even worried about it. In fact, every time the evil tries to do their best, God laughs. Psalms 2, He laughs. Psalm 37, He laughs. Because they cannot do anything. He could easily wipe them, but He just allows that free choice to exist for a time. So it's important for us to understand that all thoughts have energy. And there is a... In the spiritual world, the only light that comes and shines is the light of Jesus. Shines through all His creation. And is absorbed by, my vocabulary, remember, is struggling to describe what is up there. So it's not a perfect description of everything. We are out of human words. But it's absorbed by the angels, refracted through their lives, and continue to transmit forth. So when you see an angel who's shining, super shining, it's not their light. The light that they have was refracted from Jesus. When you look up at the sky in a full moon at night, the moon is brilliant and bright, but the moon does not produce its own light. All the moon's light is a reflection from the sun on the opposite side of the horizon of the earth, which you can't see. So, we all know how bright and beautiful a full moon night can look like. And yet, there is no light that the moon ever produces of its own. The same way we all angels, the same way we all of our light. Right now, if we were to strip away our physical body and we only have our spirits, many of us will be in different amounts of brightness and light. Some of us may be brighter than others. Some of us may be darker than others. Question, what causes it? Your thoughts and your character. Your feeling, your thoughts and your character produces the light and refraction that you're absorbing, refracting, and coming out from your life. And if your thoughts are evil and heavy, they are dark. They are dark. But if your heart is pure, they are light. Jesus said in Matthew, you know, if you allow darkness to come, great is that darkness. But if you allow light to come, that light will be very great. And I want you to know that all the time that is happening in the spiritual realm. Every time you think a thought, it is affecting you. So it's not like static. It's constantly changing. Constantly changing. So that as according to you, now we all have a certain character, who we are. Of course, that character of ours change and becomes more transformed to be like Christ through the years. So our basic character is giving a certain color to our thoughts. But yet we can improve on it by free choice and transformation. And right now, every one of you in the spiritual world is giving out light. Some of you might be giving out light darker than others. Some may have streaks of darkness. Depend on your character. Your thoughts are coloring your lives. So demons, angels, don't have to read your mind. They just can see from the color that you're reflecting, they know exactly what you're like. And in the spiritual world, there's a whole section. I visited a scientific section because of my interest. And they could tell everything about you from the light. You know how scientists today, they capture the light from the stars. And they could analyze that light to find out what is the content that produces that light. We all know that when oxygen burns or any element burns, it produces black lines. Some of you who are more chemical and physics know that if oxygen burns, the light that oxygen gives is different from every other element. If calcium burns, the light that calcium gives is different from any other element. When they analyze the spectrum of the light, there are lines on it that says it is calcium. Nothing else. Based on the neutrons and the position of the electrons, all those things and where they give out the photons. It is exact science. It may shift, called a red shift, but it's still the same place where the lines are for each element. And that is how when they want to find out what makes something, they can just burn it, capture all the light possible, and they know what the element content of a compound is. It is important for us to understand that in this physical life, the physical life, blood is the key. It's all found all over the Old Testament. So you could tell a lot about a person by taking a sample of their blood. Could tell what kind of sickness and diseases they have fought through. And you could tell a lot of things about blood. Because physical life is in the blood. Spiritual life is in the light. The light is like the lifeblood. And all you have to do, all the angels do is just, before you even pray, they look at your light, they know exactly what kind of character you are. The light that is reflected out from you. The core content. Now, Jesus, when he was walking on earth, he was aware of this light, but more or less, we can consider it like thoughts coming out. So now I'm going to give you all the scriptures, and we just quickly look at some of the scriptures here. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 35, there's a prophecy about Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 45. They are cross-referenced to other places, but we just focus on the book of Luke so that you don't attend too many books. Several scriptures to consider. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 35, Simeon blessed Mary and says, "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. No thoughts will be kept secret. Thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." And then you have Jesus functioning in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse 22. We always need scriptures for everything. Doctrine must be based on scriptures. Luke 5 verse 22. "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them." Now Jesus, they might be far away and they're thinking and reasoning. Jesus in a meeting, he knew what they were thinking. Was he reading their mind? No, he was reading the atmosphere they were producing. So in a sense, when people draw those cartoons with that funny cartoon character with a black cloud always over him, it might actually exist in some people's spiritual reality. And you don't need a big, sharp, super discernment to discern. Every time they come, there's a big cloud that comes along with them. Sometimes it's thunderous, you know, always raining. Jesus knew their thoughts. This is not the first time, in fact, several times, but I'm just going to focus on the section on Luke. And chapter 6, next chapter, verse 8. "Here Jesus was in another meeting and there was a man about to be healed. The man had a withered hand. And Jesus was about to bring forth a powerful healing. But the scribes were watching him." They haven't spoken anything. It says here in verse 7, "The scribes and the Pharisees watch him closely." In other words, they were exactly, you want to draw them in a cartoon, it would be like the Peanuts cartoon, when Snoopy the Beagle step on top of his doghouse and place the eagle eye. Just looking. So you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the wooden sea. They just wouldn't see. Looking at Jesus. Watching him closely. And Jesus, in verse 8, he knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. They haven't spoken anything. He knew exactly what they were thinking. And he spoke it out. How did Jesus know their thoughts? Because he operates in the spiritual realm. My friends, in the spiritual world, all your thoughts are known. Now, I don't know how many of you want to go to heaven. That is why some people want to hide in hell in darkness. Because you're transparent in heaven. Your character is who you are. In this world, you can hide. You can be a con man and a rotten at heart and dressed in a three-piece suit, clean shaven. You can hide in the physical. But in the spiritual, you are what you are. Your spirit is your clothing. Of course, there's spiritual clothing, but the spiritual clothing is more like it comes forth from your spirit, and you would not be able, even though they got special places and special garments, you would not be able to put a clothing that was not in line with your character. So in this world, you could. You could be the most rotten person in your heart, a rotten person in your mind. You go over, you know, to, I don't know what stores you have, the best stores, David Jones or whatever, or to an Armani store, steals the $3,000 suit, wear it, and outwardly look nice. Let's say you go to heaven, and you're exposed. All the dark streets are coming out from you. And you say, maybe I tried to steal a garment. Of course, it's impossible. But since it's a parable and story, let's continue it. Let's say that you were really able in some manner to just slip off the extra clothing that belonged to one of the high angels. You managed to slip it through his cupboard. And then you try to put on this super angel garment. You know what will happen? It will burn you. It is so incompatible with you that it will literally cause you pain and suffering. In fact, when you actually touch it, it will cause you suffering. Because in the spiritual world, your spiritual form must fit your spiritual clothing and they both must be in harmony. In a similar way, you know, some of your tailors have to fit your clothing to your form. In a physical world, just, you know, some of you, you know, through the years, you know, add a few, you know, kilos here and there, and you adjust a little bit. In the spiritual realm, your spiritual clothing has to be adjusted. It has to actually vibrate in the same frequency. When different frequencies come together, the lower frequency suffers aggravation and pain. So there's no way you could hide. In the spiritual world, your thoughts are known. Paul did say in 1 Corinthians 13 that the day will come where we know and we shall be known. And some people are so frightened of their thoughts being known. And this is where my message from the spiritual world, in fact, we don't have time in these 9 days to talk about spiritual world. That's a different session. But one of the messages from the spiritual world is that if you don't get your thoughts right down here, you're not going to get it instantly when you go there. You are what you are. That is why when I went to the spiritual world, you know, one of my biggest shock over there was that there was an intermediate place that was just before heaven and where a lot of Christians end up there. It was like a training place. I said, Lord, what way is, you know, here is the way, the truth, and the life, we believe. But the Lord says, they believe with their mind, but not with their heart. Their hearts are not transformed. And unless your heart is exactly what it is, you cannot. You just cannot. You're not fit to vibrate at the frequency of the purity of heaven. And it is worse off for a Christian. Sometimes we judge Christians who fall and who make mistakes. But they could be very transparent Christians. If they do something wrong, everybody knows it. If they do something right, everybody knows it. In the world, you know, everyone judges and say all kinds of things. But the worst Christians are those who outwardly don't seem to do anything wrong. But every night and every day, they commit all kinds of sins in their mind. They are more filthy in the spiritual realm than this other guy. Because this other guy, the only time his mind got involved with sin is when he actually do it. And the other guy, who did not physically act the sin, but every night, lived in sin. In their mind, in their imagination. That guy in the spiritual realm is more stinky than this other guy here. These are not my words. These are the words of Jesus who says, the gospel that Jesus came to bring in Matthew, look at the Sermon on the Mount. And he says that even if you get angry at another person, those thoughts fill you, you are committing murder. If you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you have committed adultery. These are the standards of Jesus. Now, Jesus knows we cannot change ourselves. So as you hear this word, don't push yourself down. But remember, the message is that He can transform you. So that your very thoughts are controlled, not by you. It's not mind power. Controlled by your heart and the Spirit transform and change. Where is your heart and mind? And right now, Jesus is in our midst invisibly. And even if Jesus is here physically, He knows exactly what you think. As He knew in Luke chapter 6. We give one more scripture here. One or two more scriptures to establish this truth. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, 47. Luke 9, 47. Says here that among the disciples this time, then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. So the disciples were fighting among themselves. Who wants to be number one? Verse 47. Yeah, Jesus' disciples are a real interesting bunch, aren't they? Verse 47. Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart. He knew what they were thinking. Of course, they wouldn't dare to discuss those things in front of Him. So behind Jesus, you know, I could imagine what the scene was like. When Jesus turned around, you know, He's not looking far away or the distance, you know, they will go, you know. And the moment Jesus turned around, they go. Those are the kind of disciples Jesus had. You know, no more better than the Three Stooges. So they were fighting and disagreeing among themselves. Who is number one? You know, me, you. No, hey, Peter, James, John. Hey, which one are you? And every time Jesus turned around, we love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Shalom. Jesus looks at them and knew their thoughts. Their mouth is saying shalom, but their mind is saying, you know, I don't like this guy to be above me. He knew exactly what they were thinking. Their disciples. He's always aware of thoughts that arise out of our hearts. Now, let's just look at Luke 24 verse 38. Luke 24 verse 48. And I just want to establish the fact that Jesus is 100% aware of the thought realm. That's the point that we're getting through. He's aware of what goes on in the thought dimension. Because the thought dimension is a very important dimension in the spiritual realm. If you cannot conquer it, you cannot get it right, it's very hard to move in the spirit. In Luke 24... Jesus encountered His disciples. God looking at the Gospel of Luke 24. And this time we are looking at His resurrection in verse 36. Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen the Spirit. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts?" And then He shows them His hand and His feet. Now, some translation says, "Why do these thoughts arise from you?" So, as we show from the Gospel of Luke, right through, and that's just a sampling that we took from the Gospels, Jesus is always aware of what's taking place in the thought realm. Among the Pharisees, among the disciples, He's sensitive to the thought realm. Question is, does this carry on through the other parts of the New Testament? You have a powerful scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 by the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Paul tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and here he's talking about walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. And he tells us here in verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We rather do it in the Spirit. Flesh as opposed to Spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, it says these are the weapons of our warfare. And he talked about the thought realm. Look at it very carefully. Even the verse and phrase there in verse 5, every thought into captivity to Christ. Not a single thought is left out. And this is only one section of that verse. One part. There are many other areas where Paul mentioned, even in Philippians chapter 4, talk about the peace of God garrison our heart and our mind. Then he goes on to talk about think on these things, which is virtue, purity, love, and all those things. It's as if Paul was also telling us thought life is very important. Now, always Christianity and in traditional churches, people are not focusing on the thought life. They're focusing on the outward life. And so they keep trying to change people from the outside in. Tell them, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. So we end up with an outward commandment with more rules, more regulations, more Christian things and rules to do. But as long as we're not changing people from the inside out, we have lost the plot. Because the whole basis for the New Testament and the New Covenant, the first sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached, was all about transformation and change from the inside out. He even tells us, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he's presenting unto us not an impossible standard, impossible by man. But he's telling us the truth of what the spiritual way is like. And I've been there, my friends. If your thoughts are not vibrating in line with your purity, you just cannot cope. And if we could transform our thoughts, then only can we live comfortably in that spiritual realm. All of Christianity revolves around that. You look at the word thoughts and the word mind right through the New Testament. You realize that that's the key. And it's not talking about us trying to change our own mind. It's talking about the Spirit of God and the life of God changing. Because I want you to know that there is a thought before the thought. So it goes right deep to the very source of your thoughts. For example, a thief or a robber could keep thinking 1,000 ways to do a crime. All those 1,000 ways consist of thousands of thoughts. But actually, all those thousands is produced by one section within him. A desire to steal, to rob, that he's committed to. And the inner commitment has produced all the rest of the thoughts. One to share with you tonight, that is not just thought transformation by thought. but it's thought transformation by something deep within us, the source of all our thinking. Remember that when we all came to this planet Earth, we were born of physical parents. And do you know that little babies haven't formulated thoughts yet? To form thoughts, you need language. How does a baby think? There's some urges. And then through time, we learn languages. And through those languages, we express our thoughts. So there is a dimension beyond language, because language is an acquired thing. None of us were born coming up from our mother's womb speaking Queen's English. We didn't come out and say, "Hi mom, hi dad. Can I have my cup of tea now?" Hey, what do you mean? You just been born. You don't drink tea, you drink milk. But I'm English. So, praise the Lord. We learn, we acquire languages. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it begins to deal with somewhere deep within us, because I don't want to leave you discouraged. And if I just end the sermon here tonight, some of you want to go and say, "Well, I need to change my thinking." But you do not know how yet. I haven't told you how yet. I only told you you have to. And you know that to get into the highest heaven, I mean, how many of you want to get into heaven and there your thoughts is broadcasted for the 5 billion people within your suburb in heaven? It'd be very embarrassing, isn't it? How about, you know, God gave us all the opportunity where all our thoughts is like, you know, those advertising signs. And every time you think, you know, those things tell exactly everyone in the world what you're thinking. That's what heaven is like. You just cannot hide. So you might go away tonight and just say, "How do I get these thoughts changed?" You know? So you'll be going and you go, you know, trying to change your thoughts. So we do need to continue, if you don't mind. Praise the Lord. We do need in Hebrews chapter 4 to show you how. Hebrews chapter 4, it gives a little clue there. It says, "For the word of God is living," Zoe life, "and powerful." Now the word powerful again is energes, which you find keep coming out almost in every verse we come across. Energes, energetic. "And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Wow. Now, the word of God here is the key. Somehow, it comes into our lives, pierces us, and it divides the soul and the spirit. Why? Because when the soul and spirit are mixed up together, remember the soul tends to be influenced from the flesh side, and the thoughts overpower the thoughts of the spirit, and they are separated nicely, and the spiritual thoughts can be seen clearer and become dominant and influence the soul instead. So it's the word of God that comes forth and shines in our heart, that very intent. So in other words, your thoughts are actually controlled from somewhere deep in your heart. For Jesus says, out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts. If your heart is evil, your thoughts will be evil. So the key to the thought life is in a heart life. If our inclination and heart, which is why last night I focused so much on the love of God, if your heart life is pure, your motives are such and they are pure, they are loving, your thoughts will be loving. It's fantastic when you realize that all these thoughts that keep floating around our hearts can be controlled by one tiny factor inside your heart. It looks like your heart is the direction of where your thoughts can be. So if your heart is pure, all your thoughts are pure. You might not know everything. You might not understand everything. But at least it's pure. At least it's pure. So the purity of our hearts is very vital to the transformation of our thought life. And then when you look at the word heart here, what in the world is the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart? What's this intents of the heart? We're touching into an area of anoia, and there are several Greek words for mind. Most common one is the word nous, which is a general consciousness. But the other word for mind is noia, which seems to speak more of a part of our mind which is in the imagination. And all its prefixes, anoia, dianoia. And then when you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, the eyes of your understanding. And that word understanding is the word dianoia, which is translated in some translations as imagination. The eyes of your dianoia being enlightened. So it's flooded with light. Here it's flooded with light. Hebrews 4 is filled with energy and life. And if you read John chapter 1, life and light are related. Jesus is the Word. In Him is life. And His life is the light of all men. When we receive everlasting life, eternal life, we receive light. A new light that shines on our inside. So the key in transformation is allowing that light, that transformation, to affect our thinking life. To affect how our mind functions. Of course, those three have to work together. Life, light, love. God is light. God is love. God is life. All those three have to be full in our life. So when the love of God is full, you got scriptures like 1 John that tells us that perfect love casts out darkness. Which means that if we have love in our heart that transforms our mind, your mind has no dark thoughts. And we know Hebrews 4 that talks about the life of God that is energizing. The Word of God is living. That means full of Zoe life. When it fills us, it's the life of God coming forth, not your own life. In Ephesians 1, it's the light of God that enlightens us so that we think clearer. We can see clearer.
What do eyes do? The dianoia has eyes. Eyes see. In a similar way, as I ask, what is the language of all of us beyond our learned and acquired language? Pictures. Images. And those are the very raw sense of where God works in our life. Deep somewhere in our imagination is closely contacting the spiritual realm. And it's more real than we think. Some of you may think, oh, you're just talking about thought realm. When Peter was walking on water, Jesus says, come, in Matthew chapter 14. Peter got out of the boat and started walking. But along the way, he saw the waves and heard the winds. They were boisterous. Remember, he's an experienced fisherman. He knows how dangerous it is. As he walks, he realizes this is not possible. So when he first stepped out, he was not thinking too much. He's just saying, no, I'm going there. But as he started walking towards Jesus, he was actually walking. His mind caught up with him. Started thinking. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. According to calculations, this is not possible. And the moment he started doubting, he started sinking. And then he said, help! And Jesus was right there with him, still walking on water. What changed? The winds were there before he started walking. Right? It was a stormy night. What changed? He was walking the same way he walked. I mean, there's no special way, by the way, to walk on water. No, if there was, please let me know. Some of you are too imaginative, you think there's a ninja way of doing it. Or like those lizards, you know, that they film, they walk so far, and right across the water. So, according to your theory, Peter was walking like a ninja style. So he succeeded. Then somewhere he changed his style of walking, therefore he started sinking. Couldn't be. Nothing to do with his walking style. There were no ninjas in those days. In the Sea of Galilee. As he was walking on water, the only thing that changed was what was inside here. And I want you to know tonight, if you hear this carefully, according to 2 Corinthians 10, the only thing that holds us back from the power and the presence of God is what's in your heart and in your mind. The only thing holding you from the breakthrough in your church, the only thing holding you between getting your miracle or not, it's the only thing. But some of us struggle so much with doubt, we don't know how to come out of it anymore. We are so filled with doubt, we live in a world full of doubts, and the believers around are full of doubt. We go to the leaders of the church, and they're also full of doubt. We go there for a prayer for healing, they're talking about a funeral. So we're all in that dimension, you know. The only thing that changed was what was going on in his mind. And if tonight we succeed by the Holy Spirit's help to change the way you think, to change the way you see yourself, change somehow, Not just outward mind, somewhere on your inside, where you could let that light of Jesus just shine a little bit more. And you know, yes, it can be done. And somehow that yes is a real big yes. It's not like, you know,
yes, okay.
But the yes inside was yes. Like those they have when they win a tennis game. Yes. Where you really know that you have got it. You finally sealed the deal. You finally gave the final smash that won you the cup, the victory. That the Olympic runner that just crossed the line and they say, yes! And you know that you have it. There's something on you, on your inside, that links up with the spirit realm. And all he has to do is John 15, verse 3. You link up with him. He's finally the wine in his fullness, and you are the branch drawing all his life into your bodies to get a miracle. Finally, you know, every struggling pastor struggles not in their life, in their mind first, and in their heart. Every struggling ministry struggles not in the life alone, but in their heart and mind. Your battle is there. And that's where the devil also wages his fiercest war. He will fight tooth and nail to put all the doubts he can into your life. To cause all the doctrines of demons and deception to come. So that he overpowers you. Wasn't that the first battle in the Garden of Eden? Had God said, now he's so clever and manipulating that he doesn't even take a direct attack. He goes alongside you. Had God said, oh, he actually didn't want you to have this. And then when he came to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, do this. Now, he didn't directly say, you are not the Son of God. He just cast a slight shadow because, you know, he's too smart. You know, the deception has to look like truth. If you want to poison, you know, something, you have to make it taste like the real thing. I was going to say poison dogs, but I know all you love dogs. So, you know, rats, okay, or whatever. And you have to mix it something real. So the devil comes with his poison, and it's so like he's on your side. He's helping you. If you are the Son of God. And I'm helping you to be Son of God, by the way. Do this. And if Jesus had done that, we wouldn't be around today. All Jesus had to do is just listen to the devil and do exactly that. But he rebuked the devil because he did not have to prove himself. He comes to Adam and Eve, whom God says they were made in the image of God. And he says, God didn't want you to be like him. He comes implying they are not like God. God says in Genesis 1:26, he made them in his image. He comes assuming that you're already not in his image. And by accepting him, what he says, you already accepted another 2-3 reasonings that you are not like God. Therefore, now you've got to try to be like God. Every time the devil has won in any battle, in any country, any place, in any culture, he is won by deception. And you notice that sometimes the deception comes by reasoning, false reasoning, like Paul says, tear down false reasoning. Sometimes it comes by false images. Here you are praying for healing and you keep seeing yourself dying. The two just cannot link. And Agnes Sanford, who was one of the first people who moved into healing ministry, and a very gentle lady, she has a book called The Healing Light. In her book, she spoke about how she was praying and struggling in her first healing case over her own child. And she spoke about how she prayed, she cried, she did all that she can. The child was no better. Child has an abscessed ear. And then, as she's struggling, God sent a young, bright spark of a minister. And a young man just comes in and says, "Oh, I'll pray for your child." He says, "No, no, you don't have to." You know, implying that, you know, I really prayed. No, what difference does your prayer make? If I cannot get it, you cannot get it, young spark. But he is just so full of life. But it's all right, I'll pray. And he prayed such a simple prayer, so full of life. And she said, just before he prayed, looking at all his life and zeal and enthusiasm, she began to be filled with faith too. By the time he prayed and says, "Amen," the child was completely healed. So here's the case, she asked herself, and that's where her journey to discover the healing road. Why couldn't she succeed when this guy could succeed? Same incident, she found her thought life. Because when you have doubts, you have worries, you have fears and all those things, it blocked her from being in union with God. When you're no more in union with God, everything else fails. You're on your own. So she began to discover that realm. And that not only for healing realm. In the realm also of finances and provision. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Do not worry." He mentioned it 3 times. "Don't worry. Do not worry." Now, if you do the opposite of what he said in Matthew 6, you cannot receive Matthew 6 promises. Correct? He did say what to do and what not to do. And if you did what he said not to do and didn't do what he said to do, you will never have the promises working. Tell us 3 times not to worry. Because worry is a thought realm. Anxiety is a thought realm. Now, living in this earth, we understand it's so natural for it to come. But we need to learn how to deal with it. Which Philippians 4 tells us. When you're struck with all this, do not be anxious, but by prayer and supplication, bring your request to God until the peace of God, which passes understanding, garrisons your heart and your mind. Your heart and your mind. The word garrison is to be completely enclosed. And the word garrison has a Greek meaning of guard your heart and mind. Nothing can penetrate that peace that passes understanding. That's why God could begin to work. Realm of the imagination. Powerful realm. And even tonight, if you understand into this realm, you will walk straight away in the supernatural. It doesn't take much. Remember, we were actually held back by those things. If we could free ourselves from those things, from a lifetime of wrong thought patterns, from a lifetime of wrong things in our mind, they become bondages. Paul says, stronghold. They have held a stronghold over our life. They kept us in bondage. Jesus comes very simply and brings deliverance. Because for once, people look beyond their thoughts. And I'm going to talk about how to reach that position where it's no longer you, but Christ just comes through.
But that imagination ram, I just have to throw in some more scriptures. Look at the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 6. One of the reasons why the planet Earth was destroyed was it was also destroyed not just because of the works of man, but it was also because of the imagination of the hearts of man. Genesis 6 verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually or constantly. See, when the earth was destroyed in the flood of Noah, it was destroyed not just because of what man has done, but because of the potential of what it was going to further become, for those imaginations was already in the heart of man to do even more evil than he has ever done. And the word intent here in Genesis 6 is the word yetzer in the Hebrew. The word yetzer, Y-E-T-Z-E-R, is a word that is similar to dianoia in the Greek. Imagination. The image that we have in our heart and mind. Now some of you may say, I don't have much imagination. All children were born with great creative imagination. We just lost that when we grew. We are schooled in a rational thought. And somewhere along the line, we lost that. All children have that. And even if we think we lost that, it's not really because we lost that. It's because we are not able to see that realm anymore. But lock up inside us somewhere is an image of what we want to be, what we can be, or what we cannot be. It's all locked inside. And that image that is in the depths of our imagination needs to be touched by the Spirit of God for us to be changed. Because that's the source of every one of our thoughts. That word yetzer is also found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 21, in a very strange manner. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 21. And in that strange passage, Moses was speaking to the new generation who were about to enter the promised land. Everything outwardly looks good, wonderful, beautiful. But as Moses spoke those words to him, God gave a revelation and said to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31, God revealed something to Moses about these people. And says here in chapter 31, you found it in Deuteronomy, verse 21. Then it shall be when many evils and troubles have come upon them that this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten in the mouths of the descendants, for I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I brought them to the land which I swore to them. Now, these people haven't even done anything outwardly wrong. God looks at them just before they cross over and saw something in their yetzer. The word inclination here is translated in imaginations in some old translation, is the word yetzer. I saw their yetzer, the imaginations of their heart. And inside there, I saw what they were going to do. And I want to give you this song so that they teach it to the children So that when their children sing the song and they fall away from me, they will remember that I told them that I knew this was going to happen. How could God see right down? See, we all can cut an apple and count how many seeds are in the apple. But no one but God can count how many apples are in that seed, in one seed. God could take one seed and know the lifespan of the apple and how many apples will come out of that one seed. God could look at our yetzer and He knows what we will do. The yetzer must be a powerful ram. The fact that they were not even aware of their own yetzer. I mean, generally, they were quite a good generation throughout the whole time of Joshua. But inside the yetzer, God noticed something. I could see something written. And the yetzer is like a DNA written in the soul realm and in the spirit realm. We know what DNA is in the physical. But this is a yetzer, is a DNA in the spiritual realm that predetermines certain directions. And the yetzer has been translated as imagination most of the time in the Old Testament. So this is no ordinary imagination. This is the dimension in the spirit where it actually touches that realm, it touches everything else. It affects everything. It's just like in a computer, if you just adjust certain codes, which is what viruses do, you just change certain codes and the whole thing is affected. It actually encodes and decodes, changes things. The thing about Yetzer is that Yetzer to God is as if it's real. It's done. It's sealed. And let me show a translation of Yetzer here in the book of Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 16. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, if your mind is stayed on Him, if the Yetzer is stayed on Him, God will keep you in perfect peace. But the one is we want is Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Verse 16. Surely you have things turned around since the potter be esteemed as the clay. For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Now, your question is, where is Yetzer here? I want you to know that Yetzer has been translated as the thing. Because they got no other way to translate it. It's so real here. Which is the very product of the potter. Surely shall the potter be esteemed as the clay. For shall the Yetzer say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the Yetzer say of him who formed me, he has no understanding? Yetzer in the Hebrew mind represent a thing. Something real. Something solid. Not just airy-fairy. It's an imagination that's so powerful it can affect lives. That's the dimension. Remember, we talk about thought realm. The thought realm is both visual and reasoning. And it's a dimension that makes us who we are. Think about the sum of our lives. Our reasoning, our images, our principles. That's the sum of who we are. And that's why it's important for us to understand how to get the Holy Spirit to touch that realm. So that realm is lined up with God. That it be God that just flow through us. Now if I end the sermon here, some of you will get the whole idea. And you would be able to say, okay, I get it now on the Yetzer. Right, I got my imagination. And then, then you are left with this. Your next question is, how do I get this imagination. And some of you, you know, at least you have progressed from, you know, knocking your head. Now you have progressed to, you know, that image of the man. And you're trying to imagine. You're trying to meditate. You're trying to yield. And if I left you there, I still wouldn't have helped you. Because you'll be still wondering, okay, now. You know, it'd be easy to change a shirt, you could touch it. How do you, you know, scratch, touch your imagination and be, besides meditating on the word? And I want to share with you that it is not so much you trying, as it is much you join with Him and yielding. So that He flows right through you and transform you. Because it's not we but Christ who lives through us. And so, we are not trying to change our imagination. Then it will be self-defeating again. You're not trying to change your own mind. It's again self-defeating. All this self-thing keep coming up in so many ways. So that, you know, sometimes self is so subtle like the devil. Like if you're conscious that you're humble, you're no more humble. And then if you're conscious of our consciousness of His presence and you like His presence, but you might be liking your consciousness of His presence and not His presence. It's so subtle, it creeps in and suddenly self comes in again as an in-between. No more just God. So I need to bring you to the point to understand that the spiritual realm is very easy, so easy we almost miss it. Like many of the simplest things, the things of the spirit are so simple, so clear, that we have to be taught how to complicate it. We miss the whole thing. I give an example of what the spiritual realm is. The spiritual realm is not necessarily a realm where we go, or we go, and somewhere about 15 minutes of you hit it. Right? Or a realm where you just try to be quiet and peaceful, then you hit it. Every one of you have contacted that realm at some point. I just want to make you familiar with it, just like I help you to make it familiar about the voice of the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance where you have heard the thoughts of the Holy Spirit He brought to you. Whenever your mind, you see, our mind is like a radar dish that can be turned against ourselves. When it's turned outwards, in my spiritual world book, I have three diagrams where I draw three diagrams about what spirit consciousness, soul consciousness, and body consciousness is like. After all, we're spirit, soul, and body. You could move your consciousness into different dimensions. In body consciousness, I draw a circle with all the arrows pointing down. So you always feel the weight of your body. Always. In soul consciousness, I draw a circle with the arrows curved back on itself towards the radius, but still within the circle. It's self-consciousness. You're self-aware. That's all soul consciousness still. You could be soul consciousness of your soul trying to be spirit consciousness and think that your soul consciousness of the spirit is spirit consciousness. But it's still soul consciousness. Because the arrow is still turned inwards. When you're really, really in contact with the spiritual realm, the third circle I drew is a circle with the arrows coming out, pointing outwards. And coming out of the circumference of the circle, pointing outwards. Where you are somehow outside. You're facing outside. You're not even self-conscious. You were turned in a different direction. That's spirit consciousness. When does it occur? When God can deal with a yetzer ram, touches in a ram. I'll give a few examples so you become familiar with it. Sometimes, if there's, let's say there's a fire down the road, some of you, you know, might hear the screams of a child or woman there. And for a moment, a few minutes, you didn't think of your own life. You didn't think of yourself and your safety. In the blur of the moment of a help, a cry for help, at the risk of your own life, you rush there. You grab the child or the lady or the person in distress and you help them to safety. At that moment, it was a selfless movement. That is your spiritual moment. That is at the place where it could contact the spirit realm. It's so easy that we miss it. At that moment, and that is why during those moments, why is it that humans by tradition extol people who do that? Because we recognize there's something there. And sometimes people at that time testify of supernatural strength, supernatural exploits. Because angels are operating. Spiritual energy sometimes is touched. And God, you give as much as possible within that realm. Because that is a contact with the spiritual realm. Pure selflessness was flowing. That's a spiritual moment. Or there are times when some of you could be walking down a path, beautiful scenic forest or place. At first, as you start the walk, the affairs of your life and daily life occupy your thoughts. But as you walk, you really begin to enjoy it. Or maybe your dog was walking with you, and you're just looking at the dog and just enjoying how the dog enjoys himself and looking at the trees, the forest. And then just for a moment, your thoughts were no more on yourself. You would just focus, oh, what a wonderful day this is. Oh, what a beautiful day it is. Oh, how beautiful is this place. For a moment, all your thoughts were turned outwards. That was your spiritual moment. Now, sometimes city folks don't have that opportunity. And so for some of you, your closest spiritual moment was when you went into the shower. That's why for some people, they only hear "Thus saith the Lord" in their shower. Their God is a God of the shower. Well, Brother Lawrence practiced the presence of God, that he was a God of pots and pans. Because why? You're such a stressed person. Everything about your life is so stressed. The only time you let go of yourself was finally when you drag yourself to the shower and you relax for the first time. And as the shower hits you, you say, that was your spiritual moment in your butt nakedness. Your spiritual moment. And for some people, that's the only time they hear from God. All the other time, God just cannot speak to them. Right? And for other people, when they sit and all they're looking, they could be looking at a scenic place like the sea, so calming. Why is it that looking at the nice scenery of God's creation is so calming? Because we have another Bible, the Bible of creation. Romans chapter 1 verse 20, God put His attributes in His creation, which is voiceless and speechless to describe. Take 1,000 words to describe the majesty of God.
But in one creation, we see and experience His majesty. This is back to the language of babies. He just it into you. And as you look at the stars and watch His splendor, and or you watch the sun rising or setting, the beauty, you're caught in that moment of God's beauty in creation. You have your spiritual moment. So for many people, when they begin to understand this realm, the image, they want to know how to flow about it. I describe these things to help you understand, identify, that when you're coming to the healing, remember, it's all over the Bible. When Peter stepped up to walk on the water, what was he thinking? He was not analyzing. There's a time and place for analysis. But when he stepped out, he was just obeying. He was just flowing. Not thinking about anything else. When his thinking caught up with him, that's when they stopped. Stopped the whole flow. The energy of God. And in a similar way, your miracle, you've been given up by all medical science. Your miracle is in those moments. I can guide you to the place where you can more those moments. But how long does it take for healing to take place? Just one of the sweet moments. And the energy of God just channel through. One tiny mustard seed can move a mountain. Because we are only blocked by our own thoughts. Too many thoughts turn inward. And in a brief moment, as you just enjoy and somehow allow, you see, turning our thoughts outward cannot be done by yourself. Because if you use your own self to turn your thoughts out, you are still you. You have to just catch the flow of something else that turns you. It's just like a centipede with 100 legs trying to walk. Imagine if you're 100 legs and you're thinking how to walk. You can't. So when you walk, if you were centipede, millipede, you'd just be conscious of going forward. Let these 100 legs on my left, 100 legs on my right, take care of themselves. Somehow I'm just flowing. You think about how to control which leg, up, right, up, right. One three-quarter way, one fourth, one fifth, one eighth, and all your legs will get entangled. If you try using all your thoughts, you know, which is what many people do. No, I'm here by the stripe, I'm here by the stripe. Cannot think this, cannot think that. Oh, you millipede. Your thoughts get all engrossed and all over the place, and you get stuck. And you convince yourself mentally you're here, but yet you have no connection. There's no power flowing. And God knows this secret. And God sometimes uses it without us knowing. He did it to Abraham. He got his doubts, he got his fears. But he said, come Abraham, look up there. Can you count the stars? But he says, no. Your children will be like them. And in the desert daytime, Abraham, can you count the dust? No. Your children will be like them. He got him covered day and night. In the desert, dust in the daytime, stars at night. And he always see this dust, he say, oh, my children, oh, my children. He's putting the picture inside him, bypassing all his rational thinking. Miss God a few times, but it keeps coming in. Took him many years, and a lot of people, they learn the faith message, healing belongs to us, all this belongs to us, theologically they know, but it's all an outward understanding. Just because you have got it rationally doesn't mean you have got it. It takes time to sing it until it is actually a part of you.
When it's a part of you, it will produce yetzer of the right kind. It produces imagination of the right kind. Because if you really, 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 really believe by His stripes you will heal, you will see pictures of yourself running if you couldn't walk. You see yourself doing things you couldn't do before. So if your mouth is confessing by stripes I heal, but your heart is seeing a different picture, it's not finished yet. That yetzer must be transformed. And you cannot just say, okay, I've learned that, now let me change my image and try to force an image of yourself to see. Somehow there is something there where you cannot quite put it and say, this is it. I can only say overall, this is the direction it is, because there are 100 legs, there are 100 things that takes place. Like the effort to walk, to do things. We all who have good health find it so easy. But those who have lost the ability to walk through a stroke, having to learn to walk all over again, having to hold a spoon, it's a very complicated process. But you held a spoon, you held a fork without even thinking. But for those who have lost that through some sort of ailments or physical ailment, it is a whole learning process. It's a complicated thing to hold a spoon. But we do it without thinking. When you reach the stage where the spiritual truths are yours without thinking, it is yours. But where it needs to descend into our yetzer until it becomes a part of it, that's where the meditation process, you can call it meditation and learn 100 methods here, 7 things there, all those things. But the end result is your turn looking upwards from God's perspective. We are spiritually so flowing with God. You got into the flow. See, the whole way to be transformed is not looking ourselves being transformed. It's like you are transformed by mirroring the Lord. Then we are transformed. It's like a side process, which is why I encourage people, when if you want the power of God to flow through your life, always do the most loving thing every day in your life. If you want prosperity, if you're praying for prosperity, abundance, always do. And mark my words, every one of you who have always had good things happening to you, where all your life you always have things taken care of, you notice one thing about those people. They're always doing loving things. Sometimes at the sacrifice of their own, themselves. And someone, they say, the grace of God keeps flowing in my life. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they always turn outwards towards others. Always turn outwards to love and help others. Without realizing it, they got their spiritual moment. And it's so easy for God to flow in their life. Some of the most difficult people to receive anything from God, whether it be healing, prosperity, it's because we turn inward. And we need to turn ourselves like a flower outwards. And it's so easy, and it doesn't take long. Just that one turning is enough for God's Spirit to start flowing. That miracle to flow in your life. How fast does it take to walk on water? Just a split second. How fast does it take to receive healing from God? Just something in you knowing, I got it, I am healed. Transform and change. Even tonight, turn outwards from yourself. Let's pray. Father, many are the secrets of your spirit realm. And we bring before you, Lord, many things tonight. But the keys, Lord, have been given to your people. The key to the rest of their lives. The key to transformation of their church, their ministries. The key for business people to excel, prosper. The key to meeting financial needs. The key to signs and wonders. The key to miracles. The key to doing the works of Jesus. All this, just by the will of your Spirit. when we turn and allow the light, the life, the love of Jesus to flow within us. Forgive us. For you are the vine and we are the branches. So many times as a branch, we pull ourselves away and try to function on our own. Try to do things on our strength without even knowing it. And we are turned sometimes inwards to our own needs, our own desires, our own situation. Oh God, it's taken a lifetime sometimes to try to turn away from ourselves and become the person you want us to be. But Lord, it's not impossible. We thank you, Father, that tonight you want to do wonders and signs in our life. For out of our midst here, Lord, can rise ministries that change nations. Fivefold ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers that will rise to the place where you want them to be. When for a moment they are not even conscious of anything, but just of flowing your divine love, life, and light. And Father, we know tonight that you brought us to the place where we know and we find your love so sweet, your goodness to us so wonderful. Tonight, Lord, is a miracle night for us. We thank you, Father. We thank you. And in this presence of this wonderful God, even as a river flows, I just see a stream from the Spirit flowing. Wherever you are, while every head is bowed and every eye closed, where you know and you're seeking a miracle from him tonight, I want you to quietly stand up where you are in this presence. Just stand in the presence. Whether that miracle be a physical miracle, spiritual miracle, financial miracle, because tonight is a night of miracles. And we are in a place and position where God wants to do that. And even as you stand in that presence of God for that miracle, that sign and that wonder, the first things that come, just forget about yourself. Forget about those around you. And in your heart and mind, the Holy Spirit is painting a picture. It could be an innocuous picture of just a stream running, the sea flowing, a nice scenery. I want you to just enjoy that which the Holy Spirit is painting in the eyes of your imagination. Just enjoy the images that He brings to your life. And let them carry you through to the place where He wants you to be. We thank you, Father. I see rivers. Hear the sounds of rivers flowing. Images of flowing water, streams, rivers. We thank you. We praise you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Images of God, His image. Oh, we love you, we worship you, we praise you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. We worship you, Lord. Healing, touching, saturating. We worship you. Just keep the image running in your heart, in your mind, flowing. Sounds of heavenly speech. We worship you, Lord. And we slowly, softly allow a worship of tongues to go to God. If you're not able to speak it forth, just enjoy it. You're able to let the sweet streams of worship flow through your life.
In our midst, Lord, the Lord Jesus is ministering and walking in our midst now. Oh, He's ministering unto our lives right now. Oh, be blessed by His presence. Nekava hole velikandorano sa. Inanno lo moshiriana nele kanana kelekinala nekene keliatorana. Oh, the Lord God Almighty blesses you. Oh, the Lord open the heavens unto you. And His presence is here now. Unleke veriana glory, glory. His glory is here. One touch of His glory is all we need. One touch of His glory is all we need right now. Oh, glory. The glory of the Lord is in His house. The glory of the Lord is in His house. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Oh, no sickness, no disease can stand in the presence of the Lord. Rama Maria no Ramasha, be healed. Receive your miracle now. Rama Masa no Leveriana. Ramasheva Leveriano. Merevalosa Neveliano. Oh. Oh, Your heavenly presence, we love You, Lord, and we ask not of ourselves, Lord. Lord, we ask that we be a blessing to all the world, that we be a blessing, oh Lord, to others around us, Lord. Iveriando, Horianda, Lamasik, Iveriando. Holy, holy, holy Lord, You are holy, holy Lord, holy.
That God has given to you one by one as the Spirit gives to you.
Truly can say, You can't, but I can.
There are still some more words. Don't hold back. Just speak them forth as the Spirit gave. Whether you saw a vision, describe the vision. If you have a word, speak for the word. Because it's the Spirit flowing through you and not you.
I saw the
water was going over the rocks, over the pebbles, the rocks were actually shining. And there was just the emphasis of the water going over the rocks and causing a shine on the rocks, which essentially was we became living stones. So the living stones shine.
Without realizing it, some of you have already been healed. If you go forth and you examine yourself, even you go to the medical doctors, you find that something has taken place in your body. Also breakthroughs in the spirit, and some of your miracles they're believing for, when you were furthest away from your mind, the Lord has done something already. Touch, transform, even in your heart and mind. We thank you, Father. It's all sealed and done. We thank you, Father. So our eyes were turned away for a moment. He has done that in our hearts, in our lives. We thank you. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, we want to keep touching this realm, Lord. We want to keep touching this realm, Lord. Ugomasakayatamasi. Uretimas, Dogomasa. Utevesi. Lord, this is what we want. This is what we desire. Udakitamasi. To be in your realm. Be in your realm, Lord. Nothing else satisfies, Lord. Lord, what we're touching tonight, Lord, let us keep touching it, Lord. Let us keep touching this realm, Lord, until we come into this realm and abide there with you, Lord. Let us touch it in a greater way, Lord. Let us enter into this realm, Lord, your realm. The greater way, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the way that we've already entered it, Lord. But, Lord, we desire to keep touching this realm, Lord. Lord, we ask you, Lord, we want others to touch this realm too, Lord. Lord, we want many, 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 many people to touch this realm, Lord. To get their healing, Lord. To get their miracle. To get a breakthrough, Lord. Lord, we ask you for that, Lord. That Lord, many, many, many will come and touch this realm, Lord. We thank you for the waterfall, Lord. We thank you for the stream. We thank you for the stones, Lord. Lord, it's real. It's real. Lord, we thank you that we've touched something that's real in the realm of the Spirit. And it's real. We thank you for the privilege of that, Lord. We thank you for the responsibility of it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the pool is increasing. Harakimas tokomase. Udetimasurakitamai. Oh Lord, we thank you for those three streams. Udekisinadamai. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everything that's flowing in those streams for us, Lord. Hallelujah. And for others, Lord. Lord, let others come and partake. Udekisidemosudobokasi. Lord, what we're touching now, Lord, let others come and partake of it too, Lord. Hure gise kiti damasu dabakase. Hure dimasu dabakase. Lord, what you've opened up tonight, Lord, let it be opened up to more, Lord, to more people. Hare gise kiti damasu dabakase.
Lord, let nothing hinder it. Let nothing stop it. Let no man stop it, Lord. Lord, we honor you. We respect you. We glorify you. We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Useki teki sumotakai. Glorify you, Lord. Useni namasi. Lord, no flesh can glory in your presence, Lord. Akitakamai. No flesh can glory in your presence, Lord. Udeni masi kudomasi. Etimasi. Only you can be glorified, Lord. Only you, Lord. Only you, Lord. Usi kalata namas kutubasi. Iketimus sudada makatamasi. Hidamito sudamotose. Etimus sudamata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In this atmosphere, as we dismiss, because tomorrow night we're going to talk about dreams and visions. And I know that between now and tomorrow, God is going to do something. The innocuous picture that keep coming to your lives and your heart and imagination, it seems so simple and childlike. Keep it running. Don't resist it. Some of you, when you pray, instead of seeing something else that you thought you're going to see, you get innocuous pictures like nice scenes, rivers, flowers, or different type of pictures that seem to just be specially for you. Don't resist that. That's actually the Holy Spirit reaching you and bringing you to that place. So as you go home tonight, some pictures are going to run right through you. You may just keep seeing sceneries and sceneries. Don't resist it. Let it flow. That's the beginning of your paradise on earth, in your imagination. And as you let it flow, it will bring to fullness what He has sealed tonight in your life. Whatever work, whatever deposit that He has placed. And it seems like a childlike simplicity, but it's drawing it from you. I know of a person who's healed in some special area for a prayer that they prayed for many years, that couldn't get healed, when they don't know why. As they pray, they keep seeing this picture of this scenic scene of the sea. And it says there's no relation to what it's praying. But as he allows it and flows and enjoys it, somewhere along as he's enjoying it, the healing took place. He was not even aware when it took place. So remember that pictures will keep flowing through you for tonight. And all through, even as you rest in the Lord, and you might find it all through the day, because as the Spirit continues to work, that which He has already sealed in your heart and life. Praise God. God bless you. Amen.
Lord, just please there, sleep tonight, Lord. Lord, what you're doing right now, let it continue in Jesus' name. Lord, let there be divine flow that just continues from right now, right through tonight as they sleep, right through tomorrow, right through into tomorrow's meeting, Lord. Bless their sleep, Lord. Bless their sleep. Let them dream according to your Spirit, Lord. Let them dream and see the things that you're giving unto them, Lord. Lord, let the ministry of angels be there as they sleep, Lord. What did you see? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord. God bless you. God bless you.